Praise God again. Praise God, my brothers, my sisters. Thank you for listening and clicking and just joining in. My name is Emmanuel Soma. I love the Lord and I use this channel, Spirit and Life, to share God's word. And the basis is from John chapter 6, verse 63, where Jesus told his disciples that, you know, the flesh counts for nothing. But the Spirit gives life. And these words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And God's words are not just words, verbal as we know it, but the Word of God communicates His Spirit and communicates life. And this is just why we share God's Word as He leads us. And we've been doing a series on the call of Abraham, studying the call of God through the life of Abraham. And honestly, it's been a pleasure for me. And just go through the channel. I'll try to put up some links and you can be able to listen to the rest of the messages. And as God allows us, we'll carry on sharing. And today we're going to look at an interesting account of Abraham and his nephew, Lot. And, well, I'll think of the topic at the end and post it. But one of the things that we read, and this story is from Genesis 13, and it's about Abraham and Lot. And it is exactly after the severe famine that they had and in Canaan, and the Abraham and Lot as well also accompanied him to Egypt. And when Abram went to Egypt, you know, he showed his weakness, which was fear, which is just, there's a message on that weakness is turned to strength. And he was fearful and he asked his wife, you know, to say that he is his sister, you know, and Pharaoh took Sarai as his wife, one of his wives. But then, you know, the Lord showed them mercy and showed Sarai mercy and inflicted serious diseases on the Egyptian household. And eventually Pharaoh called Abraham and sent him away. And, you know, he sent him with everything that he had, you know. And so this is the context of that. And so it's from there that we build from chapter 13. And we're just going to read the entire chapter because I think everything is so relevant. And we won't read it all at once, but we'll read as we expound the word. And I believe that God shall give life to his word. Amen. Yeah, so from verse 1 of Genesis 13. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev. Well, I would want to pause there. You know, if we look at this Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, it says that now there was famine in the land and Abram went down to Egypt. Here he goes up from Egypt. So it's either the topography, Egypt was low, Negev was higher, or it's the Spirit trying to tell us something that he was moving away. He went down away from where he was supposed to be and landed into problems when he should have been going back to where he was called to, Egypt. So he went back to Negev and with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and in gold. Now, Lot is mentioned here, and for those who have not come across him, Lot was Abraham's nephew in that he was a brother. He was his brother's son who had died. And you see, when God called Abraham to leave his father's household, to leave, you know, the land of the Chaldeans, Ur of the Chaldeans, God told him to leave his father's household. And I think I consider it one of his mistakes. He should not have taken Lot with him, because Lot was part of his father's household. But he left Lot. And so that causes a problem. And you see, so God blessed Abram and Lot as well. By virtue of being with Abram, God as well blessed him. So from Negev, verse 3, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. It's amazing to me how I see the life of Abraham as he kept moving through Canaan. Is that the first time he went and scanned the place, got between Bethel and Ai, and you know what? He raised an altar unto the Lord. And there the Lord appeared to him, you know, and told him that I will give your descendants this land, you know, that you survey, that you're stepping on Canaan, you know. And likewise, he goes back. When he comes back from Egypt, you would have expected him to go to, you know, to a different place. But we can see that he desires to stay in the places where the Lord had appeared to him, where he had raised an altar. And this was just, you know, he's showing us the priesthood journey. And so he goes back there, and while they were there, he calls upon the name of the Lord. You will meet this line in scriptures, and men called upon the name of the Lord in the time of Enoch. And in those days, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. This was after they were, you know, thrown out of Eden. They called upon the name of the Lord. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call unto me and I will show you, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things, unsearchable things that you do not know of. The Lord has always given men a hotline. As I will put it, a hotline, that when we call unto him, he hears us. When that man who even does not know God cries out, God, Jesus. Stories of people in accidents and unbelievers, when things are hard, there's one name that they always call, and that is Jesus. Those who don't know him call upon the name of their gods. But there is a name that is above every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth must bow. So Abram called on the name of the Lord. Verse 5. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. Verse 6. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And strife, quarreling, arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites, the Perizzites, were also living in the land at the time. So Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. And if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Let me pause there. Lot, Abram's nephew, tags along with Abraham, and the Lord blesses them. He blesses Lot, he blesses Abraham, and they are blessed, and their flocks increase while in Canaan. And as they stayed together, and you see, this was the reason why God, you know, asked him to leave his father's household, because God had already planned to bless Abraham, and he knew that, I mean, you will expand. And this is one of the things that we see about the journey of faith, is that it's a journey of increase. Not just the focus on material things, but also in spiritual understanding, in spiritual things And that's why it says, now, beloved, above all things, I pray that you may prosper in all things as your soul prospers. It is key that we see that the things increased, and their times increase brings conflict. When you had nothing, no one was concerned about you. When you had no food, no one bothered. But when people notice that things have increased around you, and that is when jealousy comes about. That is when desires to ask questions, and the conflict arose. And it's a natural process. The land could not support them. And Abraham being, he could be considered the father of Lot, because he took over the responsibilities of raising Lot after his father, who was Abraham's brother, had died. And Abraham amazingly offers his nephew the first choice. Tells him, brother, we are brothers. Instead of even calling him my nephew. You know, this is, for us who have the culture of uncles. Uncles are, they say the uncle's word is like next to God. For lack of a better word. So it is so revered. And Abram humbles himself and tells his nephew, the whole land is before us. Make a choice. It is time for us to separate. A time comes when there are things you've been carrying along in your journey of faith that you will need to let go. Let go. The journey, they say, the Bible says that narrow is the way that leads to life, but broad is the road that leads to destruction. When God starts to call you, he will put you on that narrow path. And that narrow path might not be similar. It might not make sense to others. It might not be reasoned from the human perspective. But it is a journey of faith, and he puts, and so he has to separate. And so he gives him the offer. You choose. Choose. If you choose to go to the right, I will choose to go to the left. If you choose to go to the left, I'll choose to go to the right. And let us look at Lot's choice. Lot's choice. Wow. Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain, actually, NKJV puts it like, Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Verse 12, Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Verse 13, now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinning greatly against the Lord. Let us examine Lot's choice. He lifted up his eyes. He looked up and he looked at the plains. Remember, they were cattle, you know, there were shepherds. They kept sheep, they kept goats, they kept cattle, and they would need fertile ground. You know, they will need well-watered grounds. They will need grounds that where there are rivers, where they can easily feed and easily water their animals. And so Lot made a choice based on what he could see, what looked good for his eyes, what looked, I would say, he made the logical decision based on available facts. Facts are the land is flat, so it won't be hard to move the animals. It will be easy to, to shepherd. You can see the distance. It was easy for them to have pasture, and it was well watered. He should have given Abraham the first choice. Oh, he could have respected Abraham as an elder, as his then father. But Lot chose the fertile places, and then we are told that he pitched his tents near Sodom. Oh, the scriptures don't put words there aimlessly. And it clarifies for us, now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinning greatly against the Lord. He actually went where the cities, because the cities of Sodom, you know, was a city. So he chose the modern places that had abundant pasture, abundant water. But there was a caveat to his choice. He pitched his tent near Sodom, and the people of Sodom were sinning greatly. Lot's choice took him, one, away from Canaan, and took him near to where a people were sinning. Yes, Lot's choice, not Abraham's choice. Lot's choice took him away from Canaan and took him near a place where people were sinning. Lot might have thought he was strong, but there are times the Spirit says, you know, when we play with sin, playing with the fire, just getting to the edge, it can easily burn us. And you see, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. He pitched his tent near Sodom, but when he landed into trouble, because God came and told Abraham that I am going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Actually, he did not say I'm going to destroy. He said the outcry of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is so much that I myself have chosen to go down and see it for myself. When God went to, when the angels went to Sodom, so Lot was no longer living near Sodom, but he was in Sodom. He was in the city. So we see how the progression of where he moved. He first stayed near. Then the allure of the city, of well-built buildings, and he moved inside. And what is the choice? What are the consequences of the choice of Lot? Lot suffered loss, unfortunately. When God came and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot had to run with his wife and two daughters. His sons-in-law did not understand They refused to come. So he left with his two daughters. Unfortunately, his wife, they were given instructions, run and do not look back. Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And Lot, and this, you can just read the story in in Genesis chapter 19 from verse 30, you know, from verse 30 to 38 in the end. It's a very sad story of after he lost everything, you know, he lost all his possessions. He lost that city. It was destroyed by fire and brimstone. The Lord rained fire from heaven and just destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And he went, you know, to the mountains in Zoar because he was afraid. And he was with his two daughters. And his two daughters reasoned among themselves and they said, oh no, we might end up without children. And they put their father, they made him get drunk. They gave him wine. And they slept with their father, committed incest. And the first daughter gave birth to a son and named him Moab. And this is the father of the Moabites, those that really brought so much suffering to the Israelites and led them into sin. And the second daughter did the same, slept with the father, put him to drink and slept with him when he was drunk and gave birth to a son called Ben-Ammi, and is the father of the Ammonites. The Moabites and the Ammonites really harassed Israel. Lot's choice was based on what he could see and not what God would have chosen for him. God willing, tomorrow we'll look at Abraham's choice and we shall see the difference between Lot's choice and Abraham's choice and the outcome of Abraham. It is sad when we find ourselves outside God's will, be it in marriage, be it in career, you know, be it in different choices where to live. You could easily have made a choice based on what you could see physically or carnally or what looks good. But you know, there is a better choice, and that is God's choice. Abraham, as we ended there, did not even make a choice at that point. He just carried on obeying the initial instructions of God to dwell in the land of Canaan. If God has not spoken, follow your previous instructions. Hang in there. Wait. The Lord shall answer. I want to pray with you. And maybe you're feeling you're in the wrong place, but the Lord is gracious and he is able to show mercy and guide you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my listeners. I thank you for it is not a mistake that you brought them to listen to this message. And I speak life unto their situations, O God. Many may have made wrong choices, but you are a merciful God. I pray that you may help them, O God. You may guide them, O God. You may show them mercy and lead them back to the way everlasting, to the way of life. And I pray for them that are trusting you to make choices, O God. May you give them insight, patience. May you help them to see, not like man sees, but as you see. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you again tomorrow as the Lord allows. Bye.